Father, we thank you for the sweetness of your Spirit that's on this place today. We thank you for the privilege, Father, and the honor of bringing that which you have prospered us with, the gifts of the toil of our hands, unto you. We hold them before you today, Father, and dedicate them to the work of the kingdom of God. We ask your anointing and your blessing to be upon every penny and every dollar, that it would do that which is pleasing in your sight, that it would prosper in the work of the kingdom. And Father, for those who have given, we claim your promises that you will return in like measure. In the mighty name of Jesus, we claim it to be done. And for his glory, amen. You may be seated. Before we come to the morning message this morning, one of our stewardship counselors has a word that he wants to share with you this morning concerning stewardship and his thoughts on same. And I'm going to ask Brother Ron Moon if he'll come now and just share what he has today.
I thought for a minute I was going to be forgotten about. Y'all excuse me, I went to a football game yesterday, and apparently I'm too big of a kid and yelled one or two times too many, and my voice is kind of a little weak. This past week, your stewardship committee's been meeting, and we've really been blessed, and starting right now and the rest of the week, we hope that everyone else will get to share in the blessings that that we shared in this past week. Many people think that of stewardship is just church fundraising, but it's not that at all. Stewardship emphasizes discipleship and focuses on God and every area of life, whereas fundraising just solicits money for a cause. Our stewardship program is not going to be just one big fall drive, but a year-round program. It will be emphasizing stewardship of our time and getting everyone here involved in long-range planning and goal setting. We'll be using our laymen and giving them opportunities for leadership, and not just a once-a-year program. The church, excuse me, must be more than the football game. The church should be so dedicated to Christ and his ministry that it deserves the gifts of God's stewards. If we support a church without a mission, then we're not giving to God's work. On the other hand, this line of reasoning can be a cop-out to really avoid working and trying to make the church what it should be. To me, the best practice is to first find and practice the church's mission and then tithe to that church with a mission, and then give over and above the tithe to other agencies in the community or elsewhere that you want to give to. A lot of you would ask, is tithing impossible? And it's not, because I've done it a while. And, I'd say since I once had the, say on the financial side, once I had the thought of tithing, our family income has probably more than doubled since we started tithing. Many people never try tithing because they think, because they just have the wrong attitude. They think it's just a device to give to God more than they can spare. They figure that if they make $10, they've got to give a dollar of that to God. Whereas a tither figures that for every dollar that he gives to God, he has already received 10 from God. Too many people give the last 10% of what they have. And so often, if you wait to get that last 10% or that last little bit that you got after you paid everything else, then Satan will make sure that you don't have anything left to give to God. Tithing has more to do with your faith than your finances. And believe me, that's true. Tithing is a discipline to guide Christians in their giving. It's a voluntary discipline. It's up to you. You have a free will, and it's no obedience to no law. It's just up to you. One of the real big questions is, how do you begin tithing? You begin with your heart. Tithing begins with the readiness of a man's heart. Paul says in Corinthians, if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a man has. More people refuse to tithe because of inadequate spiritual resources than inadequate financial resources. You give priority to Christ, make Him first. Excuse me. Tithing requires a faith which gives Jesus Christ priority in our lives. Sharing at least a tenth through the church becomes a natural outgrowth of faith for one who has submitted his whole life to the guidance of the Master. It's important to be systematic in your giving. Without some system, the proportion intended for Christian sharing usually shrinks before the onslaught of other requirements. Giving money is like saving money. If you don't put aside some first, something's going to happen and it's just not going to be there. You always want to strive for growth. There's always room for a Christian steward to grow in his management of God's gifts. Prosperity has made it possible for increasing numbers to tithe and give beyond the tithe. But really, increased income is not necessary. Only growth in faith and commitment to Christ are needed. If you follow these steps, you can tithe and enjoy it. But each individual must test tithing in the laboratory of personal experience. In Malachi 3:10, that's printed inside your bulletin on the lower left-hand side. Yes, everybody's pretty much heard, has read this before. I know it means a lot to me, and I'll take this moment to read it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's meant a lot to me. I don't see how anybody can read that and not try it. I can't see it. None of you can render a verdict on tithing until you've tried it. This week, your stewardship council will be making a visit to your home, and I really challenge everybody to test the Lord as He asked in Malachi 3:10.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate you sharing those thoughts with us. All right, if you will, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians? Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, the 6th chapter. Reading several verses here. You know, there's a great deal of practical advice in the Word of God. And so many folks believe that God's Word is spiritualized, and they spiritualize everything that is just clearly very practical in the Word of God. If I had to take one book of all of the books that had ever been written on which to base my life and base every decision that I would ever have to make, I'd take God's Word. I'd take the Holy Bible, and I would scour it, and I would read it, and I would mine it, and I would take everything out of there. When I had to make a decision in life, whether it be spiritual, emotional, material, physical, or whatever it is, I would make it in line with the Word of God. That's how to have the promises of God active in your life. We're going to share this morning some very practical instructions out of the Word of God. Beginning to read here in the 7th verse of Galatians chapter 6. Now, I believe it's going to be helpful for you this morning. If you've heard this before, it'll just bless you by having it renewed. If you've never seen it before, it will help you to understand how to change some of your circumstances. Paul said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." All right, would you just join me in prayer, and let's ask God to bless this portion of His Word to us this morning. Father, we thank You as we approach Your Word for the truth that every word of Yours is breathed by You. That which we are reading and sharing this morning truly is the Word of Almighty God, every bit of it. And we thank You, Father, this morning that for the words of Jesus where He said, "If ye continue in My Word, then will ye be My disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We thank You this morning, Father, that Your Word is truth, even as Jesus said it was. And we thank You, Lord, that as we study Your Word and meditate upon it, and allow Your Spirit to minister it to our hearts, that it will cause freedom to replace bondage in various areas of our life. We thank You this morning, Father, for Your promise that Your Word will never go forth void, but it will accomplish that which You desire, and it will prosper in the thing for which You are sending it forth. And now, Father, as this Word goes forth this morning, we do claim that promise for this specific portion of Your Word. We know that it will prosper in us. We allow by our own will, we choose to have Your Word to prosper in us today as we hear it and as we receive it. Father, I ask You that Your anointing would be upon my lips today as I speak Your Word, as I declare it. And I ask You also, Father, that Your anointing would be upon the ears and the hearts and the spiritual eyes of these that are hearing, and that You would cause Your people to be built up, strengthened in the faith, that they would learn something here today, Father, of Your will and of Your ways that they have not known before, that it would be beneficial for them as well as for me. And I thank You, Father, for the privilege of ministering Your Word. I thank You for this message that You've caused to be in my heart today. And I thank You for Your promise to prosper it to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about this doctrine of sowing and reaping. Paul says very clearly, and only somebody who is trying not to understand this could not understand it, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to get back when harvest time comes. There's a law of God that says that everything reproduces after its own kind. If you'll turn back to the book of Genesis, you know how many times when we're trying to understand things, we go to the book of beginnings. We go to the book of Genesis, where God's Word shows us what was His purpose in the beginning. In the book of Genesis, in the very first chapter, when God was making the earth and making everything that was in it, He made it in this way that it would reproduce after its own kind. Verse 11. Chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, verse 11. "And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." And then over in the 21st verse, he says about living creatures. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Then the 24th verse, the land-bearing animals. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Everything that God Almighty created in the beginning was created to reproduce after its own kind. You do not, if you desire to have a crop of corn in your garden, you do not plant beans. You plant corn. Now, even a fool knows that. If you want grass to grow on your lawn, you do not plant ragweed. You don't get cows from chickens. Everything reproduces after its own kind. It's a law of God. If you put a bean seed into the ground, when it grows and sprouts and produces fruit, it's only going to produce one thing, beans. It will not produce corn. It'll not produce okra. It'll not produce squash. It'll produce beans. When you plant your garden in the spring, if you went out and said, I'm going to have a beautiful harvest here in the fall, and now I'm going to plant in my garden ragweed, crabgrass, Johnson grass, and creeping vine. Every day you were out there hoeing your garden. You're watering it, you're putting the fertilizer on it, and up comes the ragweed. Up comes the Johnson grass. Up comes the crabgrass. All your neighbors would be laughing at you, wouldn't they? Because you planted the weed seed in there. And do you know what you're going to harvest? Weeds. When the crop is fully ripe, you're going to have pollen off your ragweed so you can sneeze all day long if you're tortured by that kind of thing. When the crabgrass comes to full bloom, it's going to take over the whole garden. You'll have no beans, no corn, no okra. You'll have no spinach, no lettuce, no radishes, no carrots. Do you know why you won't have any beans, corn, okra, squash, radishes, carrots? That's simple, isn't it? That's very easy to understand. God's laws in the spirit work exactly the same way they do in the natural. If you can't get beans out of a corn seed, you will not get spiritual blessings out of spiritual seeds that do not match. Everything in God's creation, whether it be spiritual, emotional, or physical, reproduces after its own kind. It's a law of God that will never be broken. Jesus understood that law. He said, whatsoever ye desire that men do unto you, do so unto them. In your relationships with other men, if you want them to love you, then love them. If you want them to be liberal with you, then be liberal with them. If you want them to be nice to you, be nice to them. Whatever you want a man to do to you, that's the way you treat them. Why? Because the law of God says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow fear, you will reap fear. If you sow hate, you will reap hate. If you sow bitterness, you will reap bitterness. If you sow resentment, you will reap resentment. If you sow love, you'll reap love. If you sow joy, you'll reap joy. If you sow forgiveness, you will reap forgiveness. It's a law of God, and it will never, ever be broken throughout all of eternity. Is it any wonder that we send our children, some of us, we send our children out dressed up in sheets with holes in them representing ghosts? We buy them the most ugly mask that we can buy them, and we put that on, and we teach them how to jump out from behind bushes to scare the life out of their best friends, and they go from house to house making weird noises, looking like demons and goblins. And then they come home, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, they wake up screaming out of fear. Does that surprise you? It doesn't surprise me. Is it any wonder that we sit our children down in front of the television set And we let them watch men and women lust after one another. We let them watch other teenagers and young children rebelling in their homes. We let them watch all manner of wickedness and evil on that screen. We let them watch the horror shows. And then they wind up reaping fear, rebellion, resentment, and lust of their own. Does that surprise you? It does not surprise me. God says in His book, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In the Word of God, the Bible says that the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Do you know how to receive more of God's love? Sow more to Him. Do you want to experience the love of God more real in your life? Do you want to have an awareness of God's love in your life like you've never had it before? Then love God more. Jesus said that's the first thing that you're to do. Love God with everything that's in you, with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength and all of your being. Love God. And then in accordance with the law of God, that what you sow, you will reap, God will begin to pour His love out in your life like you never knew was possible. That's the way God's love comes to you. It's there available to you all the time, but the way you reap it is by sowing love seeds. Just in the same way that if you want beans in your garden, you plant beans. If you want the love of God in your life, then take time to love God. Take some time away from the things of the world and just make love to Almighty God. Just tell Him of your love. Worship Him and praise Him and just make love to Him. And you will reap the love of God in your life in abundance. Whatever a man sows, so shall he also reap. It works in the field of the emotions. We've talked about hate. Sow hate, you're going to reap hate. In your family, if you sow bitterness, you'll reap bitterness. If you sow anger, you will reap anger. If you sow fear, you will reap fear. If you sow distrust, you will reap distrust. Whatever it is you sow, that is what you're going to reap, because every seed produces after its own kind. Hate will not produce love. I don't care how long you pray. Love produces love. Hate produces more of its own kind. Sowing, reaping. Giving, receiving. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you will receive. It's a law of God. It's God's law. In the material realm, it works exactly the same way. In the 19th chapter of the book of Proverbs, there is a beautiful, beautiful verse and a wonderful promise of God. And I can tell you that it's just as sure as the one that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I mean, that one is sure. We know that one. This one is also just as sure. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, verse number 17. The first part of it, everybody knows. Most people know. It's a familiar verse. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That's good. He that hath pity upon the poor, in other words, he that has compassion upon the poor, lendeth to the Lord. If you will share of your material resources with someone who's in need, you're lending it to the Lord. That's what he's saying here, all right? But now listen to the rest of it. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? That which he has given, will God pay back again? Whatsoever a man sows, whatsoever he gives, that shall he also reap or receive. Whatever it is. In the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus was talking about it. We were praying about it this morning. It's on my heart today. About this business of giving and receiving. And I don't know why it is especially that one of the things that the devil uses against people when they are trying to come into the kingdom of God, when they are trying to find the truth, one of the things that he uses to keep them away from Jesus is he convinces them that they will A, lose all their friends, be their parents or their children or their brothers or sisters or those that are close to them in the family will disown them. C, you'll have to give up all of your money and all of your material possessions, among other things. Jesus said in the 29th verse to his disciples, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man. Now listen to that. No man, not one. This law of God has never failed. There is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, what? The same thing he gave. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, yes, and in the world to come, eternal life. What is he going to receive back? The same thing which he gave. Whatever he gave up for the kingdom of God, he will receive back multiplied by the one that knows how to multiply, by the one that's in the multiplying business, Almighty God. Now, I want you to understand this one thing. If you don't remember anything else I say to you this morning, I want you to get this. This that we are talking about, sowing and reaping, giving and receiving, is one of God's laws. It is a law that will never pass away. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of Almighty God, said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He said it is easier for heaven and earth to fail than for one tittle of the law or of the word to fail. This earth that we put so much trust in, this earth that we love so much, the physical things of this life that so many of us put so much trust in and that we love so much and spend so much time in, is going to pass away. The very heavens that we see, it's a beautiful day out there today. The sun is shining and it's gorgeous. But that heaven, as beautiful as it is going to pass away in accordance with the word of God. But his word will never pass away. Now, I don't know whether this strikes you or not, but it sure does me. If someone said, Vic, I just found a law that is never ever going to change. It's going to last not only as long as you're on this earth, but it's also going to last when you go to heaven. It's going to last throughout all of eternity. It's going to last until time doesn't have any end, this law. I think I would want to know all about it and how to make it work in my life to my benefit, wouldn't you? If it was one that was that important, that it would never ever change, we might as well have it working to our benefit. Is that not right? Rather than against us. It's a law of God. All right, now I want you to see something else in this book of Galatians, in the passage we read this morning. Because some will say, well, Vic, that sounds real good. I believe God's word. I believe it's true. That sounds real good. But you know, I've given love in my family, say to my husband, but I haven't received it back yet. I've been given love to my children for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and it's not being returned to me yet. Why not? You said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've been sowing love, I've been sowing tenderness, I've been sowing care, but I'm not reaping it yet. Why not? What's wrong? God's word's true, isn't it? You bet your life it's true. We're going to see it right here. Some of you have already seen it, haven't you? In the 9th verse. Well, first of all, in the 7th verse. First one we read. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, when he said, shall also reap, he infers that you haven't reaped it yet. If you were already reaping what you sowed, he wouldn't have said, shall reap. He would have said, whatsoever a man soweth, that is he also reaping. But he didn't say, that is you also reaping. He said, that shall he also reap, which infers future tense. Is that not right? Shall reap is not present tense, it's future tense. You may not be reaping today what you're sowing any more than when you put the seed into the ground that the very same day you're going to have corn on the cob. It doesn't work that way. You put the corn seed in the ground, You wait for God to send the rain and He sends the sunshine. You watch it, you nurture it, you make sure the weeds are jerked out from around it. You love it, you care for it, you fertilize it until it grows up this big, and then those corn ears begin to sprout out and you watch the silk begin to come, and when the silk gets nice and brown, you go out and break those ears off, and then you have corn on the cob. You don't have corn on the cob the same day. The reason that so many folks are not receiving from God is they're out there digging up the seed every day. They're digging it up to see, well, is it growing? Can I eat it yet? Well, if you keep digging it up in your garden, what are you going to have? You're going to have nothing. You put the seed in the ground and you depend on the Word of God, and you depend on it to sprout and to grow and to develop into fruit or something that you can eat. If you keep digging it up all the time and looking at it, investigating it, and how come, God, there's no corn here? I just only go one seed. Same seed I put in the ground. That's all I have. I can't get fat on that. Can't feed my family on it. Lord, it's just not going to do for me. Here it is in the ground, Father. You said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? But yet that's what we do in the realm of the Spirit. We do it all the time. And we don't get anything from God, you see, because of it. All right, Paul said, he shall reap. Now look at the 9th verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. However long it takes for corn to mature, that's how long it's going to take for us to reap our corn crop. However long it takes for your husband to return your love, that's how long it's going to take for you to reap. But if you stop sowing it, there'll be no harvest. If you stop sowing your love, there won't be anything there to grow. Do you see that? You don't stop sowing just because you haven't reaped your harvest yet. You believe on the Word of God and you continue to put that seed in the ground, knowing that that God is faithful to His Word, that He will send the rain, that He will send the sunshine, and however long it takes for that particular crop to grow, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. If you faint, there'll be no harvest, and it's not God's fault. God keeps sending the rain and keeps sending the sunshine, but there's no seed in the ground for it to grow. It's a law of God. It always works. Now turn to 2 Corinthians, please. So we have seen that the kind of seed that you sow determines what kind of crop you're going to reap, whether it be in the physical or whether it be in the natural or in the spiritual. In the 9th chapter of Paul's second letter to Corinthians, there is another truth that has to do with this business of sowing and reaping, and it's important that we consider it as well. Verse number 6, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Not only will you reap the same kind that you sowed, but you will reap an amount proportionate to that which you sowed. If in your garden this year you decided, I want to double my corn crop, you don't say, therefore I'm going to cut my garden in half. If you want to double your corn crop, what do? You double the seed that you sown. But you know, when it comes down to, well, I want to tie this down to giving of our financial resources into the work of the kingdom of God. So many will say, well, I need so much more money this year, though. I've got so many more expenses, you know, and I don't know. My money's just not going to stretch this year. Therefore, I'm going to cut down on my giving into the kingdom of God. Do you know what a person has done? They have just caused the law of God to work directly in opposition to them. They have caused the law of God, which never ever fails, to be turned to their detriment rather than to their betterment. If you want more, you must give more. If you want more corn, you must put more corn into the ground. If you want more love, then you must put more love. You see, you must invest more love. If you want more in the area of financial return, then you must invest more. I mean, that's the way it is. It's that simple. Now, some people don't want to hear that. I can't help it. It's God's Word, and He's called me to preach not what people want to hear, but what He wants you to hear. This is the truth of God's Word. The kind that you sow, the seeds that you sow, that's what you're going to reap. The amount of seed that you're going to sow is the amount that you're going to receive. That's what Jesus was talking about here in the sixth chapter of the book of Luke. You know, it ought not to surprise us how well Jesus knew the ways and the purposes of God. He knew the laws of God, and he was able to teach them. And so many times he used physical and natural, understandable things in order to teach spiritual and eternal principles. In Luke 6, 38, Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over." This is God in the multiplying business now. He takes the seed. You know, when you put one corn seed in the ground, you get back many more than one seed, don't you? You get a good crop, you get two nice big fat ears all the way out to the end, say no worms, and all good kernels from the bottom to the end of the thing, right? You get two nice big ears out of one little teeny seed. Now, that's the way God works. He takes your little investment and he multiplies it. He took the little boy's lunch and he fed how many? 5,000 men and their families with a little boy's lunch. See, that's the kind of God is. That's what he does. He'll take your little bit of seed if you'll put the seed in the ground. If you'll put it in, he'll take it and multiply it for you and return it back and meet your needs with it and above that. All right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? God will cause that to come to you through other men. He'll not drop an envelope with a check written on the bank of heaven into your mailbox. It doesn't come that way. He gives it to you through other men. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If you give into the kingdom of God of your time or your abilities or your material resources with a teaspoon, God will give back to you with the same teaspoon. Now, he will press it down in there. He'll shake it so that he gets a full measure. He'll have it running over the top, but he must give it back with your same spoon. If you will use a number three can, God is required by his word to return unto you the same thing you've sown in the same measuring piece. He'll use the number three can. He'll shake it real good to get as much in as he can. He will press it down all he can. He will have it running over the top, but he can't use anything but that can. If you will use a bushel basket, then God will use a bushel basket to return unto you. If you are sowing love, God will give back to you love with the same measure. If you're sowing money, he will sow back money to you. He'll reap back money to you, rather, in the same measure. It's a law of God. What you sow is what you reap. Kind and amount. I want you to understand that. Now, listen to me carefully. This law of God, actually, there are two laws here, kind and amount. These laws are right now, this very moment, operating in your life. Right now, these laws are at work in your life. They don't work sometimes, they work all the time. They are either working to your betterment they're either working to your blessing or to your harm, to your betterment or to your detriment, depending upon the kind and amount of seed which you've sown. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's not a matter of whether you're going to put this law to work. It's only a matter of whether you're going to have it work to your betterment. 2 weeks ago, the Lord brought us a message on his divine will for prosperity. And he showed us beautifully in his word his desire for our material prosperity while we're here on this earth. But now he is showing us how to enter into that prosperity. There's something we must do in order to partake of that. And that is, we must sow the right kind and the right amount of seed. I'll say to you today, if you are not satisfied with your circumstances, change the kind and the quantity of the seed which you are putting in the ground, and your circumstances will change. They will change, or this is not any good. They will either change or the Word of God is a lie. But if this Word is true, you can change your circumstances by changing the kind of seed and the amount that you're sowing. And that's the truth. And that's the truth. Turn over to Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 10th verse. This is the verse that Ron read to us earlier. And there's something in here that is so precious that God showed me some time ago. I want you just to get a whiff of this. I mean, it's beautiful. And if you get some of this down in your spirit, it'll just turn you every way but loose. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting God He's going to give it to you this morning in that way. Malachi 3:10. Folks will say, well, Vic, you know, I like what I'm hearing. I understand that now. I see that the kind of seed I sow is going to determine the kind of crop that I reap. The amount of seed I put in the ground or the amount of money that I invest in the kingdom of God is going to determine my prosperity, the amount of it, and the bountifulness of my harvest. But what specifically can I do to cause that to happen for me? I mean, it sounds real good, but what can I do personally, myself? What can I physically do? Well, here's how God says to do it. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's what you can do. That is how you can make this law of God operate in your finances by obeying what He said to do. Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. That's what He said to do. Now, if you really want to know how to make this law work to your betterment and your benefit and your blessing, this is how to do it. Bring ye all the tithes. Now, listen to me. Someone is going to sit here this morning, if I don't say this, and say, I see what he's doing. I see. Now I see. He spent 20 minutes laying all this groundwork. Now he's springing the tithe on us. Now he's getting really down to what he's trying to. He's trying to get to people's money. Well, I want you to know this morning, friends, that to me personally and to the work of the kingdom of God, if you don't put your tithe in the kingdom of God, if you don't ever put a nickel in the kingdom of God, it'll not stop Jesus Christ from coming. It will not stop the gospel of Jesus Christ from going forth. It will go forth. The reason that this is being shared with you this morning is for your benefit. It's for your benefit. It is the way for you to enter into and work in harmony with the laws of God so that you can have God's blessings poured out upon you. This is the way it works. All right. So don't anybody misunderstand me. Don't anybody misunderstand you. Because if you do, it's going to come between you and the Lord. It won't come between you and me. All right. All right. Bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat or food in my house, so that the work of God will go forth, in other words, and prove me now herewith. God says, put me to the test. This is the only place in the Bible I know of where God openly invites you to try Him out. He says, test me. See. Just try me. See if I'm not good on my promises. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not, now listen to this, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He says, if you will bring your tithes into my storehouse so that there's plenty of food to eat in my house for the people that are hungry, and put me to the test thereby, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, not enough to meet your needs, but so much that you can't even receive it, more than enough to meet your needs, so that you will become a giver, a giver, a giver, and you'll be looking for ways to give more into the kingdom of God. That's why He wants to give to you, to meet your needs, and so you'll have some over to give, more. Now, I can tell you from my own personal experience, this verse of Scripture is true. I mean, it's just as true as the rest of them. It's every bit of it true. It works just as plain simple as it says. And it doesn't matter whether your income is $100 a week or $1,000 a week. You see, the amount doesn't make any difference. It's the importance of it to you. That's what God wants. Now I want you to see something that will bless you. Turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis. Some may say, well, exactly how do those blessings come? What does it mean for God to open up the windows of heaven? What would it be like if God opened up heaven's windows? What would really happen in my life? You remember Noah? Remember Noah and his family was on the ark? Verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And look over then at the 18th verse, or the 19th verse. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and on the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. I want you to know that when God opens the windows of heaven, there comes not just a trickle. You see, it's not just enough to sustain life. When God opens up heaven's windows, all the world knows it. It comes like a flood. Now, in Malachi, God said through the prophet, if you'll bring your tithes into the storehouse and put me to the test and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out what? Blessings! Just like I poured a 40-day flood on the earth, I covered up everything, I killed everything that was unclean and unholy in the place, and I restored everything to perfect wholeness. And that's what I'll do in your life. I'll open up the floodgates of heaven and I will pour out a flood for you that there truly will not be enough room to receive. Even the earth could not receive the 40-day flood. The whole earth could not receive it when the windows of heaven were opened up. Now, if you'll do that in your life and if I'll do that in my life, I've already done it. And the windows of heaven have already opened on me and the floodgates of God have already poured out through me and I'm still receiving it and I'm receiving some of that this morning. And that which is not, I can't handle, you know, I don't know where it's going, but it's going around here somewhere. But it's the truth. It's the truth. God said, whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. The kind that you sow, the amount that you sow. We're in a season of stewardship. I know the devil. I know how he works. And he will tell you that you cannot afford to give more of your time into the kingdom of God. He'll tell you that you cannot afford to give more of your sustenance and your financial resources into the kingdom of God because you've got too many obligations now. But I'm going to tell you what he's trying to do to you. He is trying to shut the floodgates of God out of your life. And if you will run him out, see, I mean just like that. I'm not doing that for effect. I mean just like that. I mean, you run him out of your life. If you are seeking God, God, how much would you want me to give this year? What kind of a commitment financially would you want me to make for your work? And the, you know, you get this voice that says, well, I want you to tithe. I want you to give $40 a week. And there's another one that says, well, you know, they seem to be doing all right there at Water of Life. I mean, we seem to have plenty of funds coming in. We seem to be able to get the program done okay. And the folks there really do know how to give, and God's work's getting done there. And besides, you know, we've got a child going to college this year. We've got a new baby coming along this month, and my mother-in-law is about to do something or other. We can't really afford to do that. Probably it would be all right. God would understand if we just gave 20. I'm going to tell you who always gives you the low figure. If you ever have two figures, you see, you always take the high one. Always take the high one. Because God, you see, will bless you back, not can, will bless you back in kind and quantity based on the seed you sow. And so if there's a voice that says 40 and there's another one that says 20, you take the 40. You see, the devil wants to shrink up your blessings. Do you realize that in the... let me just share this with you. I believe we'll close. But in the Dark Ages, the devil had convinced the church that money was so awful and so dirty and ought not to have anything, any place in the church, that they never took an offering. They never received an offering in the Renaissance church. They had a collection plate hidden behind a screen off in the back somewhere. Now, whose move do you think that is? Huh? You know whose move that is, you see. It's the devil's, because he can keep God's people from making the investments in the kingdom of God, and he shuts off the supply of blessing. God always operates in accordance with his law. He is a just and a righteous God. He never violates his law. This law will either work for you or it will work against you. And I pray, the desire of my heart this morning is that you will see this truth in a way that you've never seen it before. And if you have never tithed of your financial resources, that you will resolve with the help of God to do it now. If you are presently tithing, it's my desire and my sincere prayer that you will take God at his word and invest for a bumper crop. And say, praise God, I put him to the test on that tithing business, and he sure did exactly what he said. And he has opened up the floodgates of heaven, and now I've got more, and I want to give more. I want to bring in some rejoicing offerings over and above my tithe. Now, I want to bring more. I'm praying that there'll be many of you that will do that. Not because of the work that we're doing here. God will see that this work gets done. But because I know how God's blessings will be poured out upon every one of you that will take him at his word. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and put faith in his word, he saved you, didn't he? When you, by faith in his word, ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it happened, didn't it? Don't you think he'll do this too? Don't think he's good enough to handle this part too? He will. I promise you on the basis of his word that he will. And I challenge you to have this law of God operating in your life to your blessing rather than to your hindrance, in his mighty name. Can we pray? Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that your laws involve our participation, that we are just not passive recipients of the blessings of God, but that we are active partakers of your blessings. We thank you, our Father, that we can understand these spiritual things from the physical things that we understand about seeds and plants and crops. And Father, we desire today to have this word ministered deep down in our hearts, so that from here on out we will never again sow any ragweeds in our garden. We'll never sow again any resentment. We'll never sow again any fear. We'll never sow again any bitterness or any hate or any anger. We'll never sow again any strife. But we will sow only good seeds. We'll never sow jealousy. We'll never sow miserliness or stinginess. But we'll sow good seeds of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of forbearance, of tithing, of giving into your kingdom. And we claim your promise, Father, to cause those seeds to grow into the same kind of fruit as the seed, in the same way the physical seed grows. We thank you for it, Father, and we thank you that you have made this truth so perfectly clear today that even the youngest Christian, even the youngest child that's seated in this auditorium today can understand it if they desire to. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' blessed name. We ascribe all of it to his glory. Amen. Praise God. James, would you come, please? As we're singing our last hymn today, I want to just invite you, if you have not done so, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, if you don't know for sure that Jesus is the Lord of your life, that he lives in your heart, I invite you today, as we sing this last hymn, to just out of your heart invite him to come in. Just acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. Acknowledge him as Savior and Lord. Open the door of your heart and say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. And he'll do it if you'll just invite him to do so. Praise God.